In a State of the State address last month, Governor Doug Ducey announced $10 million for rural broadband development grants. That's three times the previous year's amount. According to the 2018 Arizona statewide broadband strategic plan, nearly 900,000 Arizonans had limited to no access to high-speed internet. Those residents were mainly in rural parts of the state or in tribal communities. So how much of a difference would this new money make? To find out, our co-host Mark Brody spoke with Shirley Bloomfield, CEO of NTCA, the Rural Broadband Association, which represents broadband providers across rural America.
So let's sort of get a broad perspective first nationwide. How are we doing now at the beginning of 2020 in terms of getting broadband and good internet access into rural parts of this country relative to where we have been in the past?
So I think what has been interesting over the course of the last couple of years has been how much national attention has been put on rural broadband deployment. And that, Mark, has actually really helped the explosion of network deployment in some of these really hard to serve areas. So, for example, 60% of our members are now providing fiber to the home to their customers. So I think as consumers' demand increases, we are seeing network providers really rise to the challenge.
What are some of the challenges? I mean, we hear about geographic challenges and distance challenges, things like that, of getting broadband to some of these communities. Is that mostly what you hear from your members, or are there others as well?
So I'm going to be really honest with you. Deploying broadband in rural America is really expensive because you've got the analogy of the same network that you would be deploying in Washington, D.C., for example, but instead of 400 customers bearing the cost of that mile of network, you've got maybe two or three or four. So you've got so many fewer folks to have the cost. You've got the geographic barriers. But I think the interesting thing is we're starting to look at all different kinds of technology to make sure we can get as many Americans connected as possible.
I'm curious about that because we hear so much about how in different parts of the world, even, that people are skipping over certain technologies. For example, they don't have PCs, but they have mobile phones and they're using the internet and other mobile cellular connections there. Are you seeing that in rural America as well, where people, maybe the demands are shifting in terms of what they need, what infrastructure they need to get done, what they need to get done?
So all I have to say is data caps. When you think about how often you and I might use our connectivity, one of the things that right now the way it is structured, particularly in North America, is folks run up against those data caps. And suddenly, if you're really going to be using mobility as a substitute, for example, for more of a infrastructure-based broadband service, you're going to start to hit limitations. You're going to start to get data charges that are going to make it a very expensive proposition. So we really look at that mobility play as a complementary role.
It sounds like you're saying it's not an either-or situation. It's sort of an all of the above.
It kind of is. And I think we as Americans kind of like to have our backup plans. And that's where I think having, you know, the mobility play tie along with kind of your network play really does just that. And we use our internet access so many different ways these days, right? It's whether the kid is doing homework, whether you're doing telemedicine initiatives, whether you were simply trying to download pictures. And, you know, I don't know about you, but the idea of actually trying to watch a movie on my phone might make me crazy.
Yeah, not always the best option, indeed.
No.
Well, so let me ask you about some of those uses that people have, especially things like telemedicine. We've seen a lot of schools now using technology to do homework or to get assignments out. It seems as though it's not a luxury anymore to have high-speed internet in rural areas. In some ways, it could maybe be a matter of life and death.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that, you know, when you start to talk about, you know, what are critical utilities? And, you know, just like we looked at electricity years ago, the idea that broadband, that connectivity is so essential when you think about public safety, when you think about services that you can provide with telemedicine, when you think about how you bridge an education gap for a rural student where there may not be a trigonometry teacher out there. But how do we make sure that those kids have the same opportunities? And you can bridge so many of those divides using technology, senior isolation, aging in place. I mean, all of the things that, you know, we're just starting to get excited about when you think about Internet of Things and all of those Internet of Things, precision ag, all of those things really require a connectivity piece.
Let me ask you specifically about Arizona, where Governor Ducey earlier this year pledged to basically increase funding to get rural broadband deployed to about $10 million. I'm curious, like, what does that buy? How far does $10 million go in this kind of area?
Oh, I wish I could give you a more optimistic answer, but I'm going to tell you that $10 million is a very tiny drop in the bucket. But I will also say having the state be willing to commit some resources is a fabulous start. I'd love to tell you that $10 million is going to provide service to thousands of people. In likelihood, you know, maybe you can connect 500 to 1,000 folks, maybe a few key anchor institutions like hospitals and schools. But these networks are very expensive.
Well, is this the kind of industry where, you know, if the state puts in some money, other private businesses or other entities will see that and say, okay, well, there is a commitment there. And maybe that sort of gets the ball rolling in terms of other investment to maybe put a few more drops in that bucket?
Absolutely. I think having the state show that commitment and then maybe even the state being creative enough, you know, one of the things we're seeing is a lot of states are creating state broadband offices. And yes, when businesses and those looking to do site relocation look to see how friendly state governments are towards ensuring connectivity, that commitment, regardless of the dollar amount, is going to be very significant.
In a state like Arizona, which has, you know, a few population centers, but otherwise is generally pretty rural and pretty spread out, does that make it more expensive than it might in a state that isn't quite as big space-wise and maybe has more population centers?
Yeah, Arizona has some challenges. You are spot on, because not only do you have just a couple of those population centers, which are like nuggets if you are an entity thinking about coming in to provide broadband, you have miles and miles to go to connect the communities that you have with pretty much nothing in between. But you've got to carry that traffic. So you've got that transport cost. So even if you've got those nice population centers, you're having to carry that traffic from Tempe to Phoenix to Tucson, going over miles and miles and miles where you're not picking up additional customers along the way. So the cost of a state like Arizona, and then, you know, you throw in your geographic challenges, minor things like the Grand Canyon, that's tough. So you guys actually have more of a challenge than a lot of states do. But that doesn't mean that everybody in that state doesn't have a right to be connected and doesn't have a right to connectivity.
All right. That is Shirley Bloomfield, CEO of NTCA, the Rural Broadband Association. Shirley, really good to talk to you. Thank you.
Thanks for your time today. Enjoy the discussion.